I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this, 75% of New Year's resolutions fail within the first month. Why? Because when you think in one-year timelines, well, the finish line is so far away that you can't even see it. You'd gain a lot more ground if you focused on the right daily habits rather than yearly goals. So imagine how much better your life would be if instead of obsessing over the past or worrying about the future, you set out to win the day every day. Oh, I'm excited. One of our favorite guests joins us back on the show today, Mark Batterson. He's written a brand new book. It's fantastic. Win the Day, 7 Daily Habits to Help You Stress Less and Accomplish More. This is a hardcover book. I think it's like $24. It's just packed full of content. And we've got several copies to give away. You want this book. I just want you to trust me right now. You can text in the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. Every month on Faith Radio, we give away special resources, and I'm super honored to be partnering with Faith Radio to give away my devotional, Prevail, 365 Days of Enduring Strength from God's Word. We've had a hard time keeping it in stock. It just keeps selling out, and I'm super grateful for that. But Faith Radio has 16 copies. 4 copies a week they're giving away. It's a hardcover, beautiful, 4-color, a page devotional. I'm so thrilled with how it turned out. So if you want to register to win a copy, hop on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my dear guest, and we'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson is a New York Times best-selling author of more than a dozen books. I think that number's higher now, including The Circle Maker, Chase the Line. He's lead pastor of National Community Church, one of the most innovative, influential churches in America. One church with 7 campuses. NCC also owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, and the DC Dream Center, and there's a lot more going on there too. Dr. Mark also owns a doctor of ministry degree from Regent University. He and his wife Laura have 3 children, and they live on Capitol Hill, and we love it every time we get to talk with them. Pastor Mark, welcome back to the show.
Susie, it's so good to be back, and very interesting week to be living on Capitol Hill, to say the least. And just want to say that it's a joy to have a conversation with you today.
I appreciate that so much. You know, you've been on enough times to know we love to start by talking scripture, but I want to pause just on that just for a moment, just because you are in the heart, really in the eye of the storm in some ways in D.C. Can you just give us your take on what has transpired this week and what you sense God is saying to his people?
Well, I live and work about 5 blocks from the Capitol building itself. And, you know, when you've got sirens and helicopters and armored vehicles, and it feels a little bit like a war zone, it's not your normal day on Capitol Hill. I do want to say this, Susie. I believe that we are here for such a time as this, for such a place as this. And these are critical moments with the racial tension, with the political polarization. I think we're called to stand in the gap as peacemakers, grace givers, tone setters.
Amen.
And I don't think it's getting any easier, but I think that is our high calling. And it has been a week of intense prayer for us, because we've got hundreds of people who work on Capitol Hill. They're staffers, they're members, they're Capitol Hill police. And so just directly affected by what happened on Wednesday of this week. And so we would covet your prayers. And of course, we as a nation, we're at a moment where we need God's help and God's healing.
Amen. I'm going to pause on the verse just for one more question here. I know you see this, especially where you live, but I'm sure seeing it, Mark, where, you know, solid Christians who love God and love his word stand in diametrically opposed positions on so many of the things that have happened, you know, and, just, you know, people you trust, and yet you hear three different opinions completely. And I just want to know, how are you navigating that? I mean, for Kev and I, we are just pressing in, we're fasting, praying, and we're making the peace of God a high priority and a purity of heart a high priority, because the pure in heart see God and hear from Him. And but I just, how are you navigating that with the strong opinions, especially as a pastor? I'm sure other people are telling you, you know, this is what you should do, you know, masks, no mask, all those things. How are you hearing from God, and how are you navigating that?
Well, it's harder than it's ever been. And we've been here 25 years. You know, I've learned, Susie, that no matter what you say, it's always too much or not enough. And I hope that makes sense. And so what I've learned is that I've got to make sure that I'm operating out of biblical conviction, and that I am living the spirit-filled, spirit-led life that I've been called to live. This has been a year where, for me, it's been back to basics. And so I make a beeline to the cross, and I've spent a lot of time on my knees. You know, we operate out of this core value that you pray like it depends on God and you work like it depends on you. And when you do those two things, I think some good things can happen. But Susie, our primary citizenship is in this thing called the kingdom of heaven. And so what we've got to do is keep exercising faith, hope, and love. We've got to continue. You love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. You bless those who curse you. That MO does not change no matter what. It's the Sermon on the Mount. We follow the Jesus way. And so it is very, very challenging right now. And it's tense times. But we are trusting the Lord. And there's a holy confidence. I just want to say this. Don't lose faith in the end of the story. His kingdom's going to come. His will is going to be done. And so ultimately, I'm grateful for the democracy that we live in. It's being tested in some interesting ways these days. But at the end of the day, my hope is in the kingdom. And I think we've got to be reminded of that in moments like this.
Wow. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Wow. Love that, Mark. Thanks so much. So now for our first question, is there a passage you've been thinking about these days and just pondering in your own time with the Lord?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 7:14. For what it's worth, on Inauguration Day, I love history. You know that, Susie. Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he was inaugurated, 1953, took the oath of office, put his hand on George Washington's Bible, had it open to that very verse. And it's going to be familiar to most people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. And so I think that's a promise that we need to be praying. It's a promise that we need to be standing on more than ever right now.
That's so good. You know, you hear from some people, it's too late for America. You know, judgment is in full swing, but judgment looked like it was in full swing for Nineveh. And then God sent a word of the Lord and they repented. So mercy triumphs. And I think we got to not give up hope that a great revival may just spread through this land. Don't you think?
Yes. And amen to that. And when it comes to prognostications, I think the last year should probably teach us, Susie, that we're all past our pay grade.
That's very good.
You know, just a word of encouragement. I saw this statistic that 18% of leaders, and I think this goes for everyone from pastors to politicians, you know, 18% of us feel qualified to lead. And I'm wondering who those 18% are. These are tough times, but the good news is His grace is sufficient. And Susie, I think these are the moments when we stay calm and carry on. I love this moment in Exodus. You only asked for one verse. Can I give you two?
Give me as many as you want. Love it.
I love Exodus 14:13. The Israelites stuck between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And Moses says, "Fear not, stand still, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. And it's this moment where God makes a sidewalk through the sea. And so we are believing that we're going to see God move in some miraculous ways, in part because we need it more than ever. And so this is a moment for us to press in, to pray through, and to trust that we are going to see that revival that you referenced that we're believing for.
And friends just listening today, I just feel like what you're hearing and the hope and the expectancy in Pastor Mark's voice comes from time on our knees seeking the face of God. And if we listen too long to the bad news that it upstages the power of the good news, I'd say we lost our way. I think we each have a real strong responsibility to steward our perspective right now. And we do that by getting in the presence of God, getting a word from God, and being able to be hope dispensers to a world in need. We're going to pause here. Pastor Mark, when we come back, I want to call you Dr. Pastor Mark. That's what I really should be calling you. But you opened the book with a story about a young medical student named William Osler, I think his name is. On the other side, I want you to tell us that story. We're drawing now from the content of Dr. Mark's book, Win the Day, 7 Daily Habits to Help You Stress Less and Accomplish More. Mark Batterson is my guest. New York Times best-selling author. This is going to be another one that hits the list. I'm quite sure of it. And we've got a few copies to give away. I love this book. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You know, one of the things that we need to do as we steward our perspective for these times is to stay grateful. There is evidence of God's goodness everywhere we turn, and we will lose heart and lose perspective if we lose our gratitude. I'm Susie Larson, talking to our good friend, New York Times best-selling author, pastor, and he wears so many other hats, but this brand new book, Win the Day, 7 Daily Habits to Help You Stress Less and Accomplish More. I am so thrilled we've got several copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So you open the book, Pastor Mark, with a story about a young medical student. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. William Osler, is that right?
You got it.
Got it. Tell us his story.
Yeah, 1871. He's a 21-year-old medical student, and he reads one sentence that changes the trajectory of his life. Now, at the time, you know, final exams, prospect is starting a medical practice, near nervous breakdown, Susie. Mm-hmm. And he would go on to become really the most famous medical doctor of his generation. He would organize John Hopkins School of Medicine, wrote a medical textbook, was actually dubbed Sir William Osler by the King of England. Of course, he knew none of that at the time. And so he read these words by a historian named Thomas Carlyle. Our grand business, undoubtedly, is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. And he took this idea, Susie, and he gives a speech at Yale University. And the idea is pretty simple. Live in day-tight compartments. And that's a little bit easier said than done, but I think it's a critical approach path to life.
Oh, that's so good. Well, you're a goal setter by nature. I've known you for years. I wonder, has your approach to these goals, these dreams, these God-given, you know, just unctions, has the way that you've established steps evolved over the years because of something like this?
It has. You know, I have a list of 100 life goals, Susie, so you won't accomplish 100% of the goals you don't set. So I'm a big believer in goal setting, but you have to reverse engineer those goals into daily habits. And so, for example, a few years ago, you know the story, the Lord did a miracle in my life, actually healed my asthma. I had asthma for 40 years.
And, serious asthma.
Yes. And just a complete miracle. July 2nd, 2016. I haven't touched an inhaler from that day to this day. Mm-hmm. So to celebrate that miracle, I decided to run the Chicago Marathon. But I didn't just go out and run 26.2 miles. You know, good luck with that. I had to download a training plan, and I did 72 training runs, 475 miles over 6 months. And then and only then was I able to go out and run that marathon. So really, whatever that goal is, Susie, what's critical is that we reverse engineer it and we figure out the daily habits that are going to move us in the direction of that goal.
Boy, that's so good. I'm going to read what you wrote here. Instead of fixating on things that lie dimly at a distance, concentrate on what lies clearly at hand. Simply put, focus on inputs rather than outcomes. If yesterday's history and tomorrow's a mystery, well, then win the day. When you win the day, tomorrow takes care of itself. So I want to step into the bigger story, too, because you definitely tie this in, that there's an eternal there are eternal implications to us winning the day and having God-sized and God-given dreams. This isn't about self-realization. It really is about asking God, do the impossible in and through me. And I love this. You said, the future is right here, right now, the eternal now. Heaven is invading earth. Eternity is invading time. Most people falsely assume that eternity starts at some point in the far-off future, and they live accordingly. Eternity is counterclockwise. Eternity is invading time every second of every minute of every hour of every day. I mean, that just makes my heartbeat faster. But I want you to, you know, help us step into the bigger story. So on one hand, you know, to get a sense of where God is taking us, to keep it in day-tight compartments, but at the same time, see it from heaven's point of view.
Yeah. If you go all the way back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, it says there was evening and there was morning the first day. And I think we take that for granted, Susie, but I don't know about you. At the end of a long day, a bad day, I'm so grateful that I can go to sleep and wake up the next morning and his mercies are new all over again. So I'm personally grateful that life is divided into days. What I find interesting is that we think the day starts with sunrise, but in that sacred sequence, in that ancient algorithm in Genesis, it actually begins with evening. And there's a certain genius to that. And so I write a little bit about that in the book, but here's the big idea. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the day that the Lord has made. Take up your cross daily. His mercies are new every morning. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't worry about tomorrow. Over and over and over again, you've got to live each day like it's the first day and last day of your life. And so, Susie, I think it starts with a mindset, and this is a stewardship issue. And then what I try to do is break it up, of course, into these seven habits to really help put some of these ideas into practice.
Yeah, and we're going to go through those seven habits in just a moment here, but talk about what that looks like for you on a practical basis. Okay, the race, that's fantastic. I talk about putting a flag in the ground on your healing, but what other, you know, goals or visions do you have before you that require day-tight compartments and winning the day right now so you can get where you believe God's taking you tomorrow?
Well, really pick a habit, any habit, and it could be relational, emotional, physical, spiritual, you name it. It really comes down to that daily discipline. So New Year's resolutions, you know, you mentioned it at the top of the program, 75% of them fail in the first month. Why? Because when you think in one-year timelines, it's overwhelming. It's almost like you want to give up before you get started. But there's a question that I ask in the book, and it's this: can you do it for a day? And so pick a habit, any habit. Do your age in sit-ups, 5 minutes of meditation every morning, keeping a gratitude journal, 10,000 steps, you know, whatever that habit is. Can you do it for a day? And the answer to that is always yes. So what you need to do then is do it 2 days in a row, and now you've got a winning streak. And so whatever goal you're going after, whatever problem you're trying to solve, whatever habit you're trying to break or build, it really is that one day at a time. And it's amazing what can happen. In fact, I'll just plant a seed of faith, and it is the heart of the book. Almost anyone can do almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. And the reason is that there is a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine.
You know, Kevin and I were talking as we're just, you know, grieved at times by when we hear stories of high-profile leaders and stuff coming out of the closet, you know, just falling, skeletons kind of falling out of the closet. And you just always say, thou, there but for the grace of God go I. But one thing we've been saying is, Lord, we want to live such rich, generous lives in our private lives that when we die, good deeds roll out of the closet, you know, things that people have no idea that we've been doing. I do feel like your life is so much like that. I mean, there's things that you do that people know about, and just, you know, knowing your heart, there's a lot that others don't know about. But when you look at all of the things that God has had you do with marching the city block and I mean, laying hold of this piece of property, then this, and turning it into a coffee shop and a dream center, I mean, it is a marvel to me. And then running a marathon after being miraculously healed of asthma. Is there any one thing right now to date that you stand and go, no way did that just happen? I mean, how did, you know, I'm a big dreamer, but I cannot believe this thing. Is there any of those things in your life that you still feel that way about?
Well, Susie, the timing is impeccable because today marks the 25-year anniversary of our first Sunday as the pastors of National Community Church. It was, and you're going to love this, Susie, it was the blizzard of 96 that hit the East Coast. Well, you know, I was born in Minneapolis and then grew up in the Midwest. So I'm thinking, you know, we're not going to cancel church because of 2 feet of snow. Only three people showed up. My wife, our little 3-month-old, and myself. Wow. And it was... Let me say this. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. We had three people our first Sunday, and now here we are 25 years later, and we have the privilege of influencing a lot of people. In fact, I'll just say this. During this COVID crisis, our Dream Center, Susie, we have served 55,000 meals. Our congregation has given more than $500,000 to a COVID relief fund that has helped thousands of people. And so I stand back sometimes and just marvel at what the Lord has done. But if we do little things like they're big things, God has a way of doing big things like they're little things.
Just absolutely amazing what God has done. And congratulations. Boy, we celebrate your faith step and honor God in that. I mean, what a marvel. And I think you know this, but one of your peeps, Than Bennett, is on our show once a month, and he honors you so well, Mark, when he's on the show. But he's such a humble, honorable man of God, and he adds so much perspective to our audience. But I just feel like he's some of the fruit of what's happening there at National Community Church. So what a blessing, you know?
Yeah, and he is an exhibit A, Susie, of Win the Day. He was listening to a message in one of our services a few years ago, and he had a book in him, Susie, but he hadn't set the goal. He hadn't disciplined himself with the daily habit. I remember that weekend, he sent me an email and said, I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to set a daily goal, a daily quota. And wouldn't you know it, sure enough, in the time he set aside to write that book, he pulled it off one day at a time. And I've got to say, so proud of him. And he's a testament to what any one of us can really accomplish with the daily discipline.
All right. So when we come back, I want to ask you, how do you discern if this is a self-made goal or a God-given goal? And friend, listening today, if you've got something in your heart, that impossible thing, text me. Tell me what it is. I've got a few copies of Mark's amazing new book as well, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to one of our favorites, author, Pastor Mark Batterson. He's got a brand new book titled Win the Day, 7 Habits to Help You Stress Less and Accomplish More. It's a great hardcover book, so much content. Every book Mark writes is so well researched, and I predict not only that this is going to hit the New York Times list, but I think it's going to be one, Mark, that branches out and reaches unbelievers because there's so much compelling content, but it'll be an invitation because you mentioned God all over the place, but I feel like the content is so rich and inviting that it's going to grab folks who don't know Jesus and I think maybe turn their eyes upwards. So that is my prayer and hope. So let's get into these 7 habits for this next rest of the show here. The first one you talk about is flip the script. Tell us what you mean there.
Yeah, if you want to change your life, you have to change your story. In the science of cybernetics, two kinds of change. First order change is behavioral. It's doing something more or less. And listen, if you're going on one of those New Year's diets, I think eating less, exercising more, probably a step in the right direction. But second order change is conceptual. In a sense, it's changing your internal dialogue. It's changing that self-talk that according to studies, 80% of it negative. So you have to flip that script. And so, Susie, I think sometimes we think about habits being external. You know, it's increasing productivity or proficiency, but really it's those internal habits. It's the heart. It's the things we feel in our heart and the things we think in our head that we have to change first. And so that really is where the journey begins.
And, you know, part of winning the day, I mean, there's, you know, as someone who's battled chronic health stuff, and I was pretty traumatized by the relapse I had 5 years ago. And I felt like the Lord is saying, one of the habits I want you to develop is to stop catastrophizing. Because it's like, if it happened before and it happened again, to let my brain go when new symptoms come, oh, you know, it's going to happen again. And to just say no to catastrophizing and personalizing this crisis as far as taking it personal. I can't even tell you, it gave me some real estate for faith. Like, that was occupying brain space and heart space that I didn't even realize until I looked at it. So that might be winning the day, might be rejecting inferiority or insecurity, right?
Absolutely. And I think what you just shared, it is a word for someone today. Stop catastrophizing. I can barely even say it. Not sure if I could spell it, but I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
That's fantastic. Well, I got to read two excerpts and have you comment on them from this section. It's so good. The difference between success and failure is the story we tell ourselves. So I think someone needs to hear that today. The difference between success and failure is the story we tell ourselves. True or false, those stories become self-fulfilling prophecies. If you tell yourself the wrong story, you're living a lie. If you want to change your life, start by changing your story. And I just got to read one more here and have you speak to it. If your life isn't what you want it to be, it may be because you're telling yourself the wrong story. Your explanations are more important than your experiences. Your stories are more important than the situations you find yourself in. That right there, you could build a whole show on, but speak to that if you would.
Yeah, well, we could talk psychology, because Dr. Martin Seligman talks about explanatory style, and it may be one of the most important things about us, but let me instead maybe go theological, Susie, because I think at the end of the day, Scripture is our script. Scripture, in fact, Scripture is our script cure. See, what happens is when we get grafted into God's family, we also get grafted into God's story, but we've got to give the author and finisher of our faith complete editorial control. And when we do, God begins writing his story through us. And so the good news is there is a meta narrative that we are a part of. It's this story of redemption that goes from Genesis to Revelation. And God actually wants to write his story in and through you. And the good news is he's a really good storyteller, Susie. And so I'm believing that God is going to tell some amazing stories through us in this coming year.
Wow. Someone needs to hear that. I just think about the idea that if you've got a narrative that's rehearsing in your mind, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And though God's blessing is there, his promise is there, his pathway is there, we miss it because we're wrapped up in the negative narrative. So that is maybe how you're going to win the day today, friend who's listening. So that's flip the script. The second habit, kiss the wave. This is a good one. Talk about that one.
Yeah, Charles Spurgeon said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And I'll make it personal. You know, my wife, Laura, a few years ago, diagnosed with breast cancer. And that's a scary moment, those who have experienced those medical challenges. And Susie, I know you've walked through some battles yourself. It's a scary moment, but Laura was reading a piece of poetry that posed a question, and this might even be worth writing down if listeners have a pen or pencil nearby. The question was this: what have you come to teach me? And that is a hard question to ask of cancer. It's a hard question to ask of a diagnosis or a divorce or even just a challenging situation that you have no control over. But you have to learn the lesson that it's trying to teach you, and you have to cultivate the character. And so, Susie, the obstacle is not the enemy. The obstacle is actually the way, and there is a God who, yes, sometimes he delivers us from, but more often than not delivers us through some of that pain and suffering. And I believe that you can come out the other side and you can experience God's grace and God's goodness in even greater dimensions because of some of those challenges that you face.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, one, I'm super passionate about, you know, fighting and contending for health for those who are sick. And I loved reading how Laura, you know, didn't take this lying down. I mean, really, she rose up and she looked at diet. She looked at inputs of all kinds. And I feel so strongly we play a part and God plays a part. We do what we can and then we ask God to do what only he can. And I would love to know, if I were interviewing her, sitting next to you, how would she answer? What did cancer come to teach her? What did she learn? What's her takeaway from that?
Well, I think that question almost leads to the next habit. Susie, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
No, let's do it.
It's this idea that if you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. And so one of the things that I really learned from Laura was I saw her doing things that would contribute to her own healing. And so changed her diet, eliminated toxins in our environment. And so I do believe in God's ability to heal. I also know that God has created within us this healing capacity that we have to steward in a sense, Susie. And I think that's what you're getting at. There are some things that we can do that then set God up to really do something supernatural in our lives. And so it comes back to this idea that you pray like it depends on God, but you also have to work like it depends on you. And that is the heart of that third habit, which is eat the frog.
Eat the frog, people. Okay. Flip the script, kiss the wave. So how'd you come up with eat the frog as far as doing the natural versus the supernatural?
Well, that one I borrowed from Mark Twain. And it was Mark Twain who is purported to have said that if you ever have to eat a live frog, do it first thing in the morning, because then you'll know that the hardest thing is behind you. And so it's kind of this comical, I can't imagine that scenario, but I get the idea that, you know, you've got to do the hardest thing first. And that really sets the pace and sets the table for the rest of the day.
That's good writing. Let me just tell you that is really good writing. He makes an amazing point that you want to sit with. And wow. Well, I love this. In your book, you open part two with these words: we want to do amazing things for God, but that isn't our job. God is the one who does amazing things for us and through us. Our job is to consecrate ourselves to God every day. If you win the day, amazing is on the way. You take care of today, and tomorrow is God's end of the bargain. Mark, you know, I do these Facebook Live things and on Instagram as well. And if there's been an ongoing theme, it is consecrating ourselves, humbling ourselves. You know, as you talk about, draw a circle around yourself and say, revive the person in the circle. But this is our only answer right now. People are throwing rocks, pointing fingers, shaking their fist at the darkness. None of that will get us anywhere. Talk about the power, really, and the potency of taking this seriously, where we consecrate ourselves and then look to a God who put the stars in place. I mean, that combination is supernatural.
It really is. And Susie, it goes back to this idea of prayer. Prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. And I might add, prayer is the difference between us fighting for God and God fighting for us. And so I just feel so moved in my spirit right now for those who are in a situation, Susie, that is just, it's beyond their control. It's beyond their ability. It's beyond their resources. I want you to know I have been there, and those are hard circumstances, but there is a God who is able. And I think those are the moments where we learn to pray like it depends on God. And honestly, those are the things that keep us on our knees. And so I just feel like, can I just pray for a moment?
Please. Oh my goodness, please. Yeah.
Lord, right now, you know the person that is, they're experiencing anxiety, experiencing depression. There are things that just have not changed, and it's so frustrating. And so, God, right now, I pray that the Spirit of God would spark faith within them. And not just faith for the outcome, but faith is taking the first step before God reveals the second step. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give the courage and give the wisdom to take that first step of faith today, whatever it is, and to believe you all over again, that you are the God of miracles and that you began a good work. And Lord, we trust you to carry it to completion. And so, Lord, I just join faith with those who are listening right now and pray that that good work has begun in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I want to just piggyback on that. I just get such a sense. Mark is so right. Something's going on right now. And one of the things in your book is playing it safe is risky. And I just get such a sense with this anxiety it comes self-preservation. There many are hunkering down and so deeply, profoundly discouraged over what's happening in our nation. They're playing not to lose. And yet, Lord, I know you want them to play to win. And I just pray, Father, something would rise up. Fresh faith, Lord God. Fresh fire in their bones, Lord. Fresh dreams in their hearts. Because you are who you say you are. God, we all need to be on the field right now. So mobilize us as a people of God. And as Mark said at the beginning, as tone setters, Lord God, as faith inspirers, Lord, and as people who love well. We love you, Jesus, and we ask you, pour out your Spirit in a fresh new way. In your name, amen. Wow, thank you for pausing and just, you do that anytime, any day when you're on the show. I mean, you could start hosting and I would not care. So you take over and start asking the questions. I don't care. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about flying the kite. So you flip the script. So you tell yourself a better story, right? A redemptive story. You kiss the wave. You know, the obstacles aren't in the way. They are the way. And like Laura, Mark's wife, ask, well, what have you come to teach me? And then leverage it for all it's worth and overcome. Eat the frog. Do the hardest things in the morning and don't postpone. Don't procrastinate. Now, Fly the Kite is next. Talking to best-selling author, Pastor Mark Batterson. Fantastic book, Win the Day. 7 daily habits to help you stress less and accomplish more. I love this book. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Yesterday, today, and always, the God who parted the seas and moved the mountains can move on your behalf. And Leanne texted in, I'm so encouraged by Pastor Mark. Love his books. They just make my husband and I feel like we can accomplish great things. We're working on something right now after listening to most of his books on Audible. Thanks for that, Leanne. I'm talking to Mark Batterson in his book, Win the Day, 7 Daily Habits to Help You Stress Less and Accomplish More. So we've gotten through 4 of the habits. Flip the script, you know, change the story you're telling yourself. Kiss the wave. Don't see obstacles as in the way, but the way. Eat the frog, do the hard thing, and do the natural, and expect God to do the supernatural. Okay, Mark, fly the kite. Tell me what you mean there.
Well, Susie, flying the kite is all about doing those little things like they're big things. Why? Because how you do anything is how you'll do everything. And so I think, we've been talking long enough that I can maybe get in people's business just a little bit. And here's what I would say. If you aren't making little sacrifices right now, you're not ready. If you aren't making little risks right now, you're not ready. You've got to take those little steps of faith. And, you know, I'm talking about $50 faith. I'm talking about filling out the application faith. I'm talking about making the phone call faith, Susie. It's about flying the kite, because bad habits are broken little by little. Good habits are built little by little. And so this idea of flying the kite is about breaking down those life goals, reverse engineering them into daily habits, and then putting them into practice.
Oh, I love that. Okay, how about cut the rope?
Well, it's based on a really fun story, and maybe we'll tease people with it, but Elisha Otis, I bet a lot of people have been in an elevator, an Otis elevator, but I think it's the world population that rides on an Otis elevator or escalator every third day. I mean, it's an empire, but it all started with a moment where he cut the rope, Susie. It was a demonstration of the elevator safety brake. And so what I'm getting at there is there comes a moment where you have to take that first step. And it often involves a grand gesture, which I write a little bit about. But a good example, Susie, would be the day I felt compelled to pray a circle around Capitol Hill. It ended up being a 4.7-mile prayer walk. And here we are 25 years later, and we own half a dozen properties on that prayer circle. And I might add, they add up to almost $100 million. I didn't have a category for that 25 years ago. Wow. But it's this idea, if we do those little things, and if we have the faith to cut the rope and take steps of faith, God has a way of doing some things that, again, are beyond what we could ask or imagine.
So who asked the question about Ebenezer's and in the Dream Center too? I just got to know. So I'm picturing you guys in a meeting and somebody said, hey, what if? But how did those come to be?
Well, I was walking by an old crack house on Capitol Hill and a thought fired across my synapses. That crack house would make a great coffee house. And it was a crazy idea at the time, but you know, you circle something in prayer for 5 years and who knows what God's going to do. And so we've served more than 1 million customers, been voted the number one coffee house in DC multiple times. And every penny of profit we give to kingdom causes, including the Dream Center that then we built a few years ago. And I may have mentioned we've served 55,000 meals during this COVID crisis. And so that Dream Center is making a tremendous difference right here in the nation's capital.
So did that sort of come up the same way? Like you just had this something fire in your synapses and you said, what would it take to make this happen? Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah. You know what, Susie? You actually jogged my memory to a moment when it was really conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mm. We were doing a Convoy of Hope outreach, and I think we had thousands of people show up. We gave away, I don't know, maybe 50,000 pounds of groceries that day. It was a wonderful outreach, and we were kind of patting ourselves on the back, Susie, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said in that still small voice, I want you to do this every day. And I remember thinking every day. It took like a year to plan and prepare for this. But we started dreaming about a Dream Center, a brick and mortar place and space where hope would become habit, where we would mentor and disciple the next generation. And over time, it took a long time, but we turned an abandoned apartment building into that DC Dream Center. And sure enough, it's making a pretty big difference in Ward 7 in our city.
Praise God. Just, I love that. Love it. It just, wow. I want to get up and shout, but I'm right behind the mic here. So here we are. Flip the script. So you're changing the story you tell yourself. Kiss the wave. Look at your obstacles really as the way. They're not in the way. Eat the frog. Do the hard thing. Do the natural thing and ask God to do the supernatural. Fly the kite. How do I synopsize that one again? Fly the kite. What did you say?
Yeah, how you do anything is how you'll do everything.
Yeah, and cut the rope. Okay, number six is wind the clock.
Yeah, the idea here is pretty simple. That time is measured in minutes, but life is measured in moments. And so what we've got to do is learn to manage both minutes and moments, Susie, because I think time management is a stewardship issue. In fact, average person spends 142 minutes on social media. And so that represents 15% of our waking hours. And so you don't find time, you make time. And so wind the clock is about managing minutes, but it's also about recognizing moments and making the most of them.
Love that so much. Seed the clouds. I can't wait to hear about that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple idea. You can't break the law of sowing and reaping. It will make or break you. And so sow today what you want to see tomorrow. And, you know, Susie, I've found that all of us know garbage in, garbage out, right? And we and we believe it for everybody else. But we all think that we're the exception to the rule, that somehow we can cheat code or shortcut. But the truth is, you are not the anomaly. All of us are subject to this law of sowing and reaping. Now, the Holy Spirit is certainly the X factor. And God, again, is able to do immeasurably more. But we've got to do our part, and we've got to seed the clouds. And we do that with our God-given imagination. We imagine unborn tomorrows, and then we win the day, one day at a time.
Man, so wonderful. In the book, you say gratitude is thanking God after he does it, where faith is thanking God before he does it. Say more about that.
Well, I think sometimes we live in the wrong time zone. And what I mean by that is we get stuck in past tense guilt, or we get stuck with future tense anxiety. I think we've got to learn to live in the moment. Daniel Gilbert and Matthew Killingsworth did this fascinating study. 46.9% of our time, we're thinking about something other than what we're doing in the present moment. Oh, in other words, we're half present half the time, which means we're half alive. And so it brings us all the way back to this idea of living in day-tight compartments. And part of that, though, Susie, is understanding that everything is created twice. The first creation is spiritual or mental, and that second creation is physical. And so let's not worry too much about the outcomes. Let's focus on the inputs. And if we get that right, then we're going to see God do some remarkable things in our lives.
Well, you've seen God do some remarkable things, Mark. I just got to know, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5, 10 years ago?
Wow. You know, I think that I probably learned more about who God is as a father to my three children than all of those seminary degrees put together, Susie. Mm-hmm. Can I just say this to listeners? God doesn't just love you. He likes you. He likes you. And so I just have come to appreciate his grace. And there's common grace, Susie, that all of us experience. You know, the sun came up this morning, the oxygen that we breathe. But then there's also this special grace. And I just pray that for every person listening today, that you would experience that special grace. And I might add, you know, grace, by definition, you can't deserve it. It's something you don't deserve. That's the only way you qualify for it. And so the good news today is that there is a God who loves you unconditionally, and his grace is sufficient for every challenge, every moment, every opportunity that presents itself to us.
Someday, Mark, I'm going to tell you about some of the audacious things God has done through us because of how your faith has inspired us. So it's your fruit. just it's amazing to see what God will do when we'll trust him. Mark, please come back, and thank you for the time today. And I pray, friends, you enjoyed it as well. We will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.